Grab a hold of your Bibles. Let's stand and hold them up and say it together. This
is the Word of God.
And I know that it's true. If you'd remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to Haggai. We're going to start with chapter 1, starting with verse 2. The title of the message is A Pockets Full of Holes. Okay, pockets full of holes. Chapter 1, verse 2. This is what the Lord, and by the way, I'm reading a different version than what he's got up here. I think I'll read off this. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in the paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We'll stop with that. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is powerful and it is sharp as a two-edged sword, and it does do what you send it to do in our hearts, in our lives, in our souls. And I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. We just ask you to hide your servant behind the cross. Once again, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'll give you a little history. The Israelites had been in captivity. And Cyrus, I think it was Cyrus that had decided to send them home and to send the Jews back to their homeland. And he wanted them to rebuild the temple. He would encourage them to do that. And so they came home. A lot of them came back to their homeland. And they had that task of building the temple. But it's just one thing and then another thing and another thing. And 16 years later, they still didn't have the temple built. It had been, you know, the financial things, and it had been time issues. And it had been, they just kept putting it off. And the common saying was, as you can see in the scripture, it's the time is not right to build the temple. Well, the temple wasn't the real problem here with these Israelites. The real problem was their heart towards God and the stewardship towards the work of the Lord. And the Lord was watching them in the process of this 16 years of putting it off. And finally, since Zerubbabel, the leader, and the high priest at the time, Joshua, I think, was the name. I'm not sure. Well, I'll get to that in a little bit. But they hadn't been the leaders that they needed to be. And so God had to do an end run around the government leader and the spiritual leader of their town, their country. And he sent a prophet. He sent Haggai. It's kind of a little interesting side that Haggai is this only Old Testament person by that name is this guy. He was unique. God had picked him out for this specific reason. And so Haggai brought this message to the Israelites. And the key of what we're talking about here this morning is where he said, consider yourselves. Consider yourselves. In other words, take a look at yourselves. I want you to take a look at yourselves. So the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, because I left my Bible in Clarkfield. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you. You have planted much, but harvested little. You have food to eat, but not enough to fill you up. You have wine to drink, but not enough to satisfy your thirst. You have clothes to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord Almighty says, considers verse 7. How things are going for you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, rebuild my house, and then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hope for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord Almighty, while you are all busy building your own fine houses. And that version says, with paneling. This was wood that was brought in. This wasn't local stuff. It was exotic to them. That is why the heavens have withheld their dew from the earth, and has the earth has withheld its crop. I've called for a drought on the fields and the hills, a drought to wither the grain and the grapes and the olives and all your other crops, a drought to starve both you and your cattle, and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. God is chastising the Israelites here. And we see in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, says, the Lord chastens those who he loves. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. You see, the Lord loved these people, and he could see what was taking place. There is a law. One of God's laws, spiritual laws, is that you're going to prosper according to your heart. You're going to prosper according to your relationship with the Lord. And they weren't prospering. They kind of got this snowball rolling downhill thing where, well, we can't really afford to build the temple now. We can't really afford to give money to God because, you know, things are a little tight. And, you know, we don't have time. We're busy trying to make ends meet. And on it went. And the less they gave to God, the worse it got. And the worse it got, the less they felt like they could give to God. And it just snowballed backwards. And finally, God said, look, do you want to stop and take a look at what's going on? Do you realize that it's because of your heart towards stewardship, towards me, towards my ministry, that you are going backwards? You know, this thing with serving the Lord is all by faith. It doesn't work out on a ledger very well, does it? It doesn't work out. I had a gal in Coralville when I was pastoring there in Iowa City. And she was a scientist at the University of Iowa. And she had some kind of grant and was doing some kind of cancer research. And she came to church. She gave her life to Christ, but she really had a hard time living out her relationship with the Lord because everything had to make sense to her brain. She had to try to analyze it and figure it out. And when it comes to serving God, when it comes to faith, it doesn't make sense in the natural realm. It doesn't make sense to our brain that if we give, remember what Jesus said about the widow with the two mites? She had two coins and she put them in it. Jesus saw it and he noticed it. He said, she has given more than all the rest. Why? It's only two coins. And the others had given considerably more, but he said she gave the most. It's not equal giving, but equal what? Sacrifice. And he was looking at her heart. She was willing to trust God for her very existence. She put it in there and trusted God, and Jesus noticed. Don't you think that Jesus notices every time that you trust him in some way or another? Where it doesn't make sense, where your mind is concerned, you just have to trust him. And that's the way our relationship with him is supposed to be. It doesn't make sense that the less you have, the more you should be sure that you give. Does that make sense? Not in the physical realm, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense that this woman would give all she had and Jesus would be excited about it. For us, we go, no, you better keep that. I mean, that's all you got, and you keep that. Jesus didn't even say anything about that. He didn't run over and give her money because he would have robbed her. Not that Jesus would do that, but he would have robbed her of that blessing that was put in the bank. Now, I hope you forgive me that I may use these little personal illustrations of all that's, you know, out of all that's happened to me in the last month yesterday. Anyway, when Pat gave her life to Christ, she was she knew there was more to serving God, but she didn't know what it was. And she finally came to that point where she heard the gospel message, she responded to it, she gave her life to Christ, and she was like really excited about it and never really looked back. But I remember when we got rolling in our Christian life, and I told her, I said, you know, we have to tithe. She said, what's that? I said, that's like taking 10% of your income off the top and giving it to the God's work. She said, what? Because she's very frugal. Yeah, she very frugal. So she said, what? And finally I convinced her of the principle of giving and God giving. You can't outgive God. So by faith, she trusted me. And it's the only financial decision she probably ever trusted that I made. So by faith, she decided that we were going to tithe. So we started tithing, and we tithed for 38 years. Now I want to tell you something. Right now, she's in heaven spending my savings. But I'm down here spending hers. You like my new car? So that's the principle. I mean, I feel really good about it. 38 years with the tithing, and she's in heaven now reaping the benefits of that tithing. Now, I believe we reap benefits all through our 38 years of marriage because of our faithfulness to God in giving. But the real reward is in heaven. Now, I got a couple scriptures here, and I don't have references to which one is which. But, okay, Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal and rust. That one really speaks to me. All my treasures are rusty. Okay, let's do 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is Jesus trying to instill that principle into people's lives, that in order for your heart to be right, you've got to be willing to serve God rather than mammon or money. You've got to be able to yield even your very existence, which is the financial stuff that keeps us alive. We've got to be willing to yield that to God, to be able to just give it up and trust Him. And I'm not saying that you should come in and write a check for all you have and give it to the church. Of course, if you did, we'd take it. But just as God was saying to the Israelites, where are you at? Stop and look and see where you're at. Do you trust me with these things? They were supposed to build the temple, and it was going to take time. It was going to take commitment, and it's going to take money. And they were too busy building their own homes. They were too busy doing their own thing. They were kept putting God off, and God was putting them off, and they didn't get it. And finally, God said, okay, here's what's going on. Now, okay, yeah, verse 12 of Haggai 1. Then Zerubbabel, and I'm not even going to say who his dad was, and Jeshua, and that's the priest, and Zerubbabel was the government leader. And the whole remnant of God's people obeyed the message from the Lord their God. It had been delivered by the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent. And the people worshiped the Lord in earnest. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people. They came and began their work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. This was on September 21st of the second year of the king of Darius' reign. Same people, same economy, same circumstances, and all of a sudden, they had revival. And now, because their priority was right, it was not a problem for them to do what God wanted them to do. It began to come together. 4 years, if I read it right, 4 years they finished it. 16 years they put it off. If they'd have built it in the first 4 years, they could have saved themselves 12 years. And that's kind of the way we are sometimes, isn't it? By the way, the A-frame's fallen down, okay? Just thought I'd throw that in. Roof's leaking. That's not a sermon about building a church, although it could be. It's a sermon about where our heart is with God and when we should be, where we should be, and checking where our heart is with God. I'm going to check and see if I've got any unsaid scriptures here, and we are going to end. Matthew 6:33, what do we got there? But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is a tough principle for us to really get down to. Seek first the kingdom of God, and the rest of this stuff will be added unto you. But that, you know, we think in terms of here and now. But lately, I've thought a whole lot more about the afterwards. Thinking about those rewards. They seem so far away. They seem so untouchable. The things, you know, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It just seems like so far away. But then suddenly someone goes there quickly and you realize it's not that far away. It's one step from here to the other side. It's one heartbeat away. And we spend so much of our time wrapped up in this world, in this life, in the material things here, and our busyness and all of that. We are never going to be on our deathbed and say, I wished I'd have worked harder and spent more time at work. Will we? That's not going to happen. We're always going to say, I wish I'd have spent more time with the Lord. You going to be nervous seeing Jesus for the first time? Well, if you know Him well enough, you won't. You'll be excited to see Him. If you spend time with Him now, it's not going to be such a nerve-wracking thing to be able to step into heaven and stand before Jesus and throw your arms around Him like you knew Him intimately. Because you do, if you choose to. Spend time with Him. Lord, we just thank You that we were able to have a service today. And we thank You, Lord, for Your love and mercy and grace. And I pray, Lord, that You would keep Your hand on those that are on the road, the people that we love. And I pray, Lord, that You'd watch over each one as we head home to hunker down for the rest of the storm. And we just thank You, Lord, for reminding us to look at our hearts and see where our priorities are, where our stewardship is concerned, whether it's doing or giving, or just plain spending time with you, praying and reading the Bible. Help us, Lord, not to be so busy that you'd be a stranger to us when we see you face to face. And help us to remember that you talked about finances a great deal in the New Testament because it was really important where our heart is at, where our material things are concerned. We just thank you, Lord, for that gentle reminder. But Lord, I know that you love us and you will remind us one way or the other if we need it. We just thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.